All right, let's turn in our Bibles over to Mark chapter 4. Eric, could you get me a glass of water, please? That might help. Mark chapter 4. And we're just going to read verses 35 through 41. This is the story of Jesus stilling the storm out on the Sea of Galilee. And some amazing things that we can learn from this story, I think. So let's read this, starting with verse 35. In the same day, when evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey his voice? And let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you today. Open your word, preach your word. Lord, our hearts are still stirred from what we heard and experienced last weekend. And Lord, we ask for two things here. The first thing we ask for is that we wouldn't lose what we gained last week. And secondly, we ask that it would increase, that this would just be the beginning. And Lord, we ask that you would really stir our hearts week by week, day by day, moment by moment. Lord, the key is, it's true, that we must seek your face. And Lord, we pray that we would be faithful in that, and then you will do the rest, we know. And Father, we pray now that you would bless this message. Lord, we pray that you would help me as I preach. Lord, I just to calm my cough down here now and help me to speak clearly. Lord, may we hear from heaven here today, we pray. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was reading during my devotion time this last week, reading through the book of Mark, and came across this passage here. I think it was maybe Tuesday, I'm not too sure which day it was. The thoughts of the previous weekend were still very fresh on my heart. And I know that, Alex was saying, many of the men have been texting each other in the mornings and sharing things that they're reading from Scripture, and God is showing to them. And by the way, it was a good week. It really was. Just being close to God, more prayer time, I think, than any of us have experienced in a long time. And time in his word. Anyway, so God was really speaking to me through this passage as I read it the other morning. And a sermon just kind of jumped off the page at me as I was reading this. And each point, many of these points that we have 7 points we're going to look at here, about this story, and it just, there's so much here that we need to consider. So we're going to look at this today. We experienced, I believe, a revival last week. I have never seen anything like it before. I've heard about it. The altar was filled with people during the invitation time. I know there were many of us that were getting things right with God. I know I got some things right. And then the testimonies at the end were, I mean, that went on for at least an hour, I think, after the service. And we didn't want to quit, you know. It was great. And it was so exciting to see God working in such a powerful way. The week before that was a very stormy week. In fact, I was really nervous about coming into the conference because, I mean, so many things were happening, bizarre things I've never been around before. And it was like the devil was, I mean, he pulled out all the stops. He was really lowering the boom on us. And I thought to myself, what is going to happen at the conference? If the week before is like this, what's going to happen at the conference? You know, I figured, man, the weather is going to go bad on us, and everybody's going to be sick, and I just figured, man, everything's going to be bad. I'm a pessimist at heart, you see. but anyway, something amazing happened during that conference. In the midst of all that spiritual warfare, that's what it was, by the way, the week before. In the midst of that spiritual warfare, God put a hedge around our conference. Anybody notice that? Everything went just perfect, just right. The preaching was great. The weather was good. It was just everything that you could imagine went right. And God was moving in a powerful way. God had put some kind of a protection around this building and around this conference that I don't know if any of us have ever experienced this before. But it was absolutely amazing. I was so thrilled with that. And I thought to myself after the conference was over, this is great. I mean, we're moving. And then the spiritual warfare came back again. It was like as if, okay, conference is over now, and God took the hedge back down. And this last week now, it's all been back again. Okay, I mean, I could tell you things that I can't tell you, things that we've been through this week in people's lives, some really hard things. The devil is alive and well, I got to tell you that, okay? And we are in a spiritual battle. There is no question about that. So the storms continue. And that's what our story is about today, about a storm. That's the title of the message, by the way, Melissa, The Storm. We often read Ephesians chapter 6 with kind of a ho-hum, you know, attitude. Jared calls it triteness. And yeah, we do that, don't we? All of our spiritual warfare that's listed there in Ephesians 6. But it's real. It's a very real thing. And so, I found 7 lessons that we can look at here from this passage about the storm and about spiritual warfare. So, the first thing we see is that God does take us through the storm. God does not protect us from the storm, but He takes us through the storm, as we have been saying. Satan can control the weather. Do you know that? Because he is the prince of the power of the air. And he can control the weather. He could control the weather in Jesus' day on the Sea of Galilee. You know, the Sea of Galilee is can be calm and beautiful. And when we were there, we took a boat ride out on the Sea of Galilee, and it was like that. It was calm and beautiful. But oftentimes storms arise quickly and kind of unexpectedly. And Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He can do that. And Jesus and his disciples were out on this on the Sea of Galilee there, and the devil's been had been trying to destroy the Messiah and his coming for many years. And certainly now, and you can imagine what the devil was thinking here. Now, I've got them out here in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It's nighttime. I'm going to bring in a terrible storm. I'm going to sink their ship. And that's going to be the end of this thing. That's what the devil was thinking. But what's interesting here is, and by the way, what's the devil's purposes in our lives? Well, his purposes are to destroy us, first of all. His purpose is to discourage. If he can't destroy us, he'll discourage us, disillusion us, disappoint us, dishearten us, and depress us. And if he can't do that, he'll distract us somehow from doing the work of God. And if he can't distract us, he'll condemn us or damn us if he can. Make us feel guilty. So the devil has a lot of tricks, and he is certainly our enemy, and he is he is in the battle against us all the time. But God knows what the weather is going to be. You know, God's the best weatherman there is. You know that? I was telling my wife the other day, I said, you know, I asked her what the weather forecast was, and she, you know, well, maybe it will, or maybe it won't freeze, you know, who knows. And, you know, they're not always right, and that's true. And weather forecasting is not a perfect science by any means, as we know. But you know what? God knows the future. He has a perfect knowledge of the weather, doesn't he? Huh? So, do you think God then knew exactly about the storm, when it was going to hit, and exactly the Lord Jesus when this storm was going to hit? And where and all that. Of course he did. He knew it all. And so we read there in verse 35, "And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Him all the time knowing that out in the middle of that sea a terrible storm was going to hit. You see. So God takes us into these storms. There are many other examples of this in Scripture. Jesus waited 4 days until after Lazarus had been dead a while before he came to raise him from the dead. Jesus led the children of Israel, or God led the children of Israel, to be trapped by the Red Sea as Egyptians were coming to destroy them. And then after the Red Sea, God led them to the bitter waters, the water of Marah. And from eternity past, God designed that our Lord Jesus Christ would go to an old rugged cross. Revelation 13:8 says the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. So God has taken us through these trials. It is God's will that we go through trials, that we go through the storms in our lives. We need to acknowledge that, face that. God has many purposes in that. But we can be sure that God always will get good out of us going through the storm. Do you know that? That's the amazing thing of it. God always gets good out of it. I kind of wonder sometimes that, and by the way, this happens over and over again. It's happened over and over again down through history, where the devil has a plan to thwart the work of God or destroy the work of God somehow. And he works hard at his plan, and he engages his plan, and God turns it around and uses it for good. Because we have an amazing God that he can do that. He can use the very worst thing that you can imagine that can happen to you, and God can turn it around for good. I often wonder if the devil's down there, he sees that happening. Maybe, and he thinks to himself, rats, God did it again. I've been thwarted again. Now, you think he'd learn, but he's so bent on evil and destroying us that that's all he's thinking about. And God just keeps using it for good. Well, that's what we will find that took place here in this story. So God takes us into the storm. The second thing we learn in verse 36 is that there were other little ships besides this ship that was in the storm. Apparently all the disciples weren't in the same ship. So we read verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. I don't know whether it's the disciples that were in other ships or other people that were following, don't know. But at any rate, that kind of jumped off the page at me there too. There are others around us, just like these little ships, There are others around us that are going through trials and spiritual warfare as well as we are. You know that? And, I'm kind of, maybe I'm preaching to the folks here that are here today. You're not going through any kind of problems, maybe your ship's okay, today, that is. Ever notice how that works? What about tomorrow or about yesterday, And the storms come into our lives at different times, don't they? But anyway, there are other little ships. People around us who are going through hard things as well. And they're suffering the storm as well. There are those who are suffering from Lyme disease. Jared's one of them. By the way, I appreciate Jared, and sometimes he's tired and he's on the verge of collapse and things like that. And he stood up here. You know, Pastor Mike was sick today. He couldn't preach. Pastor, or Brother Jared was sick. And so Brother Derek was sick. I'll get it right. And so Brother Jared stepped in and preached today. And he worked yesterday. I know he's tired. And he preached a good message, didn't he? Amen. And I don't, you know, for those of us that don't have Lyme disease, we don't really understand what it's like, but quite a few folks in our church have it. And it's just something they have to live with, and it can be tough sometimes. So there are others who are going through hard things. There are a lot of them that are going through the whooping cough right now, too. And praise the Lord, there's three little survivors over here. That went through it. And so you do get over it, okay? I know it doesn't seem like it. How long was Sabrina home with the kids? A month and a half?
Two months.
Almost 2 months, yeah. And I'd ask her sometimes, how you doing? You know, I know it's tough. You know, not getting enough sleep, you know, the kids throwing up at night and stuff like that, just one after another. And she said, well, Alex and I have to kind of take shift work, do shift work to get enough sleep. And it was pretty tough, I know. So, you know, these sickness things, yeah, they're a little ship that's going on right now in some people's lives. And, you know, this whooping cough can be pretty rough on some people. My wife is, I don't think she's been in church for 2 months, but praise the Lord she is here today. She's back there in the little room. But she hadn't been in church for, it's been over 2 months, I think. Been sick. And so a lot of that sickness going around. So there's the whooping cough ship, the little ship, the Lyme ship. There's a broken relationship. There's a financial hardship. There's maybe a grief ship, or a frustration ship, or a guilt ship, or a discouragement ship. There's other little ships around us, you see. Other people are suffering from different things. They're going through storm. By the way, the fact that we call them little ships doesn't mean that that's just the ship we're talking about. But the storm's a big storm. Okay, and by the way, if you're in a little ship, a big storm's even more of a problem, and that's why we need each other. By the way, we need to encourage each other when we're going through these things. Third thing, verse 37, is the intensity of the storm. Notice that. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. It's called a great storm of wind. I can't imagine what this must have been like. It wasn't a very big ship. It was larger than a little rowboat, of course, but I don't know how long they were, maybe 20-25 feet long. They weren't real big, but you got these big waves coming at you in the wind. And I mean, by the way, these were experienced fishermen. They'd been out there before. They had weathered storms before, but this was a bad one. And they thought they were done for. They thought they were going to sink. And in fact, it says here the ship was now full. Schofield actually says it was being filled. Not too sure if that's right or not, but at least it was a very dangerous situation. I've been in a boat before out in the river that had too much water in it for one reason or another. And you know what happens when your boat has too much water in it? When it tips, it wants to keep going because the water goes to the side too, see? if you got too much water in there. And it's really easy to capsize a boat that has too much water. And these were experienced fishermen, but they were scared. They thought they'd had it. This was a very intense storm. Sometimes the storms in our lives can be very intense, and we just don't hardly know what to do. Storms can be rough. They can be very intense. Verse 38 is another thing that we want to look at. And he was in the hinder part, this is talking about Jesus, he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, where was Jesus? He was sleeping on a pillow. You ever feel like God's asleep? You know, you pray and pray and you pray, and it just feels like nothing's happening. He's not hearing me. You know, yeah, you really know he's not asleep, but you just sort of feel that way sometimes, you know. And there's no relief coming, there's no answer coming, and where is God, you know? And we might be able to identify with the disciples here when they say, carest thou not that we perish? When they try to wake him up, and, you know, Jesus, you know, he tries to, he yawns, and there, he opens his eyes, and they say, carest thou not that we perish? And because sometimes we feel all alone. We don't feel like God is there. Because sometimes it's because we're fearful instead of trusting God in the storm. Sometimes it's because He's just not, you know, showing up. He's not delivering us from the trial. The storm rages on and on and on. And our ship is getting fuller and fuller of water, and surely we're going to sink pretty soon. But I want to tell you something about God. You know what? He says that Jesus was asleep on the pillow. You know what that tells us? God's not worried about it. God's not worried about it. We worry about stuff so much. We worry about the storm so much. God's got it all under control. It's all going to be okay. That ship wasn't going to sink. Jesus was in that ship. It was going to be okay. God is not worried. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy helper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even for evermore. So, what else do we see from this verse? Well, we sometimes feel like God's asleep. We must understand that God is not worried about it. He's got it all under control. But then thirdly, the disciples cried out to God, didn't they? Now, we might not think that they cried the right thing. They said, carest thou not that we perish? But they did cry out to God, didn't they? And sometimes we might cry out that way to God. But God does care. And God does hear us when we're in the storm, when we cry out to him. Psalm 50:15 says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, Jeremiah 33:3. show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Psalm 4:3, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Psalm 62, verse 5, O thou that hearest prayer unto thee, shall all flesh come. You see, we always want relief from the storm right now, don't we? Well, God might be going to use a storm for a little longer in our lives, so the relief might not come right now. But God has the perfect timing. God knows when to calm the storm, when it will be best to calm the storm, but not before. But what we need to do is, like the disciples did, is cry out to the Lord for help. And if he doesn't bring relief from the storm today, it's okay. But he will bring peace. He will give peace to us. And that brings me to my next point, verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Isn't that neat? There was a great calm. I mean, that storm went from a raging, scary, horrible thing in the middle of the night to all of a sudden just calm. I've been out on a river before when it's like that, when it's calm like that. It's usually early in the morning. And it's glassy. I mean, it's like a mirror, you know. Just not a ripple on anywhere. Just perfectly smooth. And so there was a great calm that came over. When Jesus gives peace, it's a great peace. It's a great calm, you see. Colossians 3:15 says, Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Our verse that we memorize in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Anybody want to quote that for me? One of your kids want to quote it for me? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Come on, somebody quote it. This will help you all wake up here a little bit. Ah, come on. Somebody can do it. Pardon? What's the first word? Be careful. That's the first two words. Oh, she's going to do it. All right, go ahead. Pretty close. Very good. Close enough. All right. Amen. The peace of God will keep, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Okay? Isn't it a wonderful thing when God gives peace? You know, we can worry and fret over something. It doesn't do a bit of good. We can be in the midst of the storm. Things can be horrible. But God can bring perfect peace in the midst of the storm. Praise the Lord for that. Psalm 46:10 says, Be still and know that I am God. We just need to be still and know that He is God. Let's look at verse 40 now. And He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? There's two parts to this challenge that Jesus makes to the disciples here. The first part is, why are ye fearful? In Matthew 10:28-31 says, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. We should never be afraid of spiritual warfare. Okay? Now, it can be kind of frightening sometimes, especially when bizarre things happen. But don't be afraid. Why? Because God is still in charge. We don't need to be afraid of the devil. Yes, he's a powerful entity, but he's not more powerful than God. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You see. So, a second challenge that Jesus makes to the disciples here is that they have no faith. How is it that you have no faith? We might say in modern language, Jesus would say to them, "Hey guys, where's your faith?" You know? And God might say that to us sometimes. Where is your faith? You know, there are a lot of different kinds of faith. I've classified them sometimes as like a school. You know, you have elementary level faith, and you have high school level faith, and you have college level faith. But I want to tell you something. What Jesus is talking about here is college level faith. This is the kind of faith that will sustain you in a storm. This is the kind of faith that doesn't require even that the storm be made into a calm. This is the kind of faith that you have just because Jesus is going through the storm with you. See? This is the kind of faith that that is college level faith that we really need to attain to. You know, a new believer might pray and ask God for some need in their life, and some need to be met, some material need, and God answers that prayer, and yeah, they have faith. Well, that's kind of beginner kind of faith, see. But somewhere along, and then we might, as we mature in faith, there might be some horrible thing comes into our life, and we pray for God's deliverance, and God brings deliverance. And we have faith that he'll do that, and he does it. But when we get to the college level of faith, then it's whether God brings deliverance or not, we're still going to trust him, you see. Whether the storm has subsided or not, we're still going to trust him. And that's the kind of faith that we need to ultimately have. It's a fiery furnace kind of faith, where the children, where the three Hebrew children said, we're not going to bow down, Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going to bow down to this idol. God can deliver us from the fiery furnace. But then they go on to say, God is able to deliver us, but if not, we will not bow down. Even if they burn up in the fiery furnace, they still had faith, you see. That's college-level faith. Job had college-level faith after he had lost everything, including his family. And he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." The Apostle Paul had college-level faith when he had prayed three times for God to take away some kind of an infirmity he had of the flesh, probably some kind of an eye disease or something. God didn't heal him. Now Paul had gone around, he'd touched other people and brought healing to other people in the name of Jesus. So why couldn't Paul get healed then? Well, God told him why. He told him that my grace is sufficient for you. You see. That's college level faith. When we can say, "Okay, God, I'm not comfortable in the storm. I don't like the storm, but I'm in the storm, And if you bring deliverance, praise the Lord. But if you don't, I'm still going to trust you, no matter what, you see. So that's the kind of faith that Jesus wanted the disciples to have. How is it that you have no faith? Then, the next verse, verse 41. The result of what took place here in the disciples' life says, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey his voice?" They feared exceedingly. Now what they had, that doesn't mean that they were afraid of Jesus, but what it means is they had an awe of Jesus and his power, you see. They all of a sudden realized who Jesus was. I mean, even the wind and the sea obey his voice. And by the way, yes, the devil might be the prince of the power of the air, and he might be able to bring bad weather and storms in our lives, but Jesus can override that. Amen? He did here. And so, they're awed at his great power. And that needs to be, that's important in our lives, that we are awed at the power of God and who God is. Have a true fear of God, an awe of God. Read a minute ago in Matthew 10:28, and it says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him," or have an awe of him, "which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You know that every breath we breathe and every heartbeat that thumps in our chest are all at the very will of God. Do you know that? That should teach us to have a fear of God. That should teach us to have an awe for God. Because we have nothing without him. Our very life is totally dependent upon him. Now I'm going to kind of wind this up here real quick. I want to do this with actually going into chapter 5 a little bit. I'm not going to read it all, but just a few verses. Because when we read back here on in verse 35, it says, Jesus said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Now, what is on the other side? Now, let me give you a little geographical instruction here. They were in the area of Capernaum, and they got on in these ships, and they set sail across the Sea of Galilee. It was a lake, not a sea, but pretty much directly across toward a place called Gadara. Okay, now that is on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And if you remember from your biblical history, going way back to the time that the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and they came around, they were getting ready to go across the Jordan River, and there were 2.5 tribes that wanted to stay on the east side of the Jordan River. Okay, one of those tribes, Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. Gad is the tribe I want you to think about, because this area where they're going to now is called Gadara, from the tribe of Gad. Okay, so that's where they were heading, east across the Sea of Galilee to that side. So what is on the other side? Well, I want to tell you something. On the other side of the storm we're going to find victory. Do you know that? If we hang in there and we don't get discouraged and we don't give up and we don't forget what happened last week and we say, I am determined, we're going to sail to the other side even though we're going through a storm right now, there's something good on the other side. I want to tell you what that good thing is here in our story. Well, they got over there to the other side in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, if we read on, we find a description of this guy. He was a maniac. He was absolutely crazy. He was full of demons, and they tried to chain him, and he'd even break the chains, if you can imagine that. This guy had some kind of demonic strength, and he'd cut himself with stones, all kinds of horrible things, and lived in the caves. He was naked and all this, you know, running around. And he comes and he meets Jesus as they get on the seashore. You know the story of how Jesus casts out this demon. And they go into the swine, into the pigs, and the pigs run down over a steep place and they wind up in the sea. And then we jump down to verse 14 and 15, and we read, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And so here's this guy. He was absolutely wild. And now he's clothed in his right mind. Probably got a smile on his face. Everything is good. And they are shocked. They said, how could this be? And in fact, they were so moved by this, they were actually afraid of whatever power it took to make this happen. We read then in verse 20, and he departed, that's this guy that had been crazy or been filled with the demons, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now I want to tell you something. Something good happened on the other side of the shore. It was just one man was converted. But it changed that whole region. You see, it only took one man. And he went back as a missionary to his hometown and he began to preach and proclaim what had happened to him. What a powerful testimony. And no doubt, there was a lot of people that came to know Christ as a result of that. So you see, on the other side of the storm, on the other shore from the storm, riding out the storm, going through the storm, putting up with the storm, not getting discouraged and downcast in the storm, but remembering that God has a plan, God is working, and on the other side, there's something really good that's going to happen. I don't know about you, but I believe that. And I believe that as we go through some of these things in the next few weeks, the continued sickness that's going on and a lot of other things, that God is going to do something big here. Anybody else besides me think that? Huh? Alex does. Amen. Some of you do. I think God's got some plans for us, some big plans for us. And I'm excited about what he's going to do. And I'll tell you what, but it's up to us to do the right thing in the storm. It's up to us to keep faith in the storm, not be afraid of the storm, you see. That's the point. And God is going to bring victory in the end. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we